Seafood companies are receiving FDA warning letters for non-compliance with seafood HACCP regulations, such as a facility being cited for lack of HACCP verification on imported fish, citations for HACCP sanitation violations or lack of a hazard analysis, and many for the complete lack of a HACCP plan at all. What makes this so serious is that warning letters are issued after a facility is cited on an Inspection 483 report, when the facility does not then correct those citations to FDA's satisfaction. And then at that point, FDA can take further enforcement action, including shutting down the facility. Welcome to Tag Talks Food Safety. I'm your host, Lisa Lupo, and today I'm talking with Food Safety Director Ranjit Klar about seafood HACCP, its importance in the food industry, and advice on ensuring compliance so as to provide safe food for your customers and to ward off those nasty 483s, warning letters, or other enforcement. Welcome, Ranjit.
Thank you, Lisa.
So, Ranjit, let's just start right at the very beginning with a general question. What exactly is HACCP?
Yeah, Lisa, this is really a common term we have heard in food industry a lot. So HACCP, Hazard Analysis and Critical Control Points, is a globally recognized science-based framework for managing food safety risks. It's used across the food industry. It was included in the Codex Alimentarius in 1993. We will talk more about HACCP in the context of seafood industry, which is called as seafood HACCP under the U.S. Food and Drug Administration, FDA's seafood HACCP regulation 21 CFR 123, which is required the seafood processors to adopt certain specific seafood-related hazard analysis and have a good critical control points identified in their food safety plan.
Okay. So now we'll talk more then about why it's so important in the seafood industry. So it's not the first time that we've talked about seafood HACCP. In fact, in 2022, you and I discussed the what, who, and why in another Tag Talks, and we'll link that in the description so anybody can refer to that or watch it if they'd like to. That video, though, has been so popular since that time that we thought we'd come back to that topic and provide some further information and updates. So let's start with an update of what, if anything, has changed or is new since our last talk in 2022.
I think, first of all, it was very interesting to know that that our talk in 2022 was of a good attraction. So it was liked or viewed. That's great. Yeah, we can certainly top it up on what we had discussed then and now. So basically, continuing with the same expectation of the safe food, safe seafood supply chain. Within those recent years, we have seen more of the oversight and checks on the few things. Some of them are like temperature control, so continuous monitoring for temperature sensitive seafood products, emphasized on the stricter controls, like at what temperature abuse can cause any hazards inside in terms of microbiology. Accuracy of checks, like how the equipment used to check those are really functioning. Calibration of temperature recording devices, like the built-in probes on the cookers are using the probes to check the shipments, like at the time of receiving raw materials to the finished product. So that's one of the major one that we have seen a lot, that temperature abuse it leads into the food safety risk, so that the emphasis is made more on temperature control. Second, the big, second major one came since we last talked was sanitary transportation, which is connected to Food Safety Modernization Act and their rule of sanitary transportation for human and animal food in 21 CFR subpart O. That has affected seafood processors in the event of transporting the seafood on the road with the truck within the USA. And also, this is connecting to foreign supplier verification program of FDA in FSMA rules, which is kind of connected to somewhat because it is unknown that seafood regulation is already covered, so we don't need to worry about the PCQI rules and the other rules are least applied. But we will talk about more about the food foreign supplier verification program at some point, because that's where I want to touch base a little bit more. I think the just to sum up, two
Great.
temperature and sanitation transportation are two key additions since we last had our past podcast.
Okay. So yeah, been a few changes there. What may not have changed so much, though, are the overall hazards of seafood processing. So in your work with this, Ranjit, what do you see as some of the most common hazards?
Yeah, Lisa, since we have been as a TAG and our team, we have been working with overseas companies, and seafood mostly gets imported in the USA. And most of the cases we have seen with the FDA import alerts or detention letters or 483 and any kind of violation reported at level of customers are mostly biological hazard. That is Salmonella. So Salmonella is one of the top three reasons leading into import alerts and refusal, followed by second one is a chemical hazard, which is unapproved drugs and dyes. Those unapproved chemicals used at the level of the aquaculture, so which can be undetected, non-detected during the manufacturing of the product, but it may be identified when a sample happens, the sampling takes place in the USA. So we have been dealing with the chloramphenicol as one of the concerning chemical hazard noted in the sampling of incoming imported products.
So one way to determine a facility's susceptibility to such hazard is the internal audit. So how often should this be conducted and how is one conducted?
So I think you hit the right point here in terms of managing the food safety risks. We can have a great HACCP program. We can have a great facility infrastructure, great validation studies, verification activities. However, internal audits is a tool which can be used to be the benefiting to the facility to make sure to check the system is working in the right effectiveness, right shape. So it helps the facility to mitigate the risk of food safety. So it can be conducted at any frequency depending on what is the risk assessment shows of that facility. We cannot copy paste internal audits program or system from facility A to facility B. It has to be
Okay.
based on risk. And sites should evaluate the potential risk, determining which areas of their food safety system requires more closer scrutiny. And based on that assessment, internal audit should be strategically scheduled in a way that it serves the purpose of checking the food safety system by qualified people. So very, very important point to note that a strategically scheduled internal audit, but it has to be conducted by qualified, knowledgeable individuals who are well aware of the seafood production. They know the associated risks and the requirements. And this approach ensures the system is rigorously double-checked, remains unbiased, because if I write the food safety plan, I should not be auditing as an internal auditor. And if we can do all of that, this provides a confidence that the food safety management system is effectively managing the food safety hazards. And in fact, I want to tell you here that the TAG team, we as an Acheson, the Acheson Group team, we are having most of our subject matter experts have qualifications to do the internal audits. Because we are diverse enough, working in with geographically diverse areas, we are in many countries working with helping our clients, and also we are having a very sound knowledge of FDA requirements because we work very closely with FDA regulations. I can see that internal audit to keep it unbiased, keep it
Right.
professionally driven, and do the best, give the best results. We can help as a tag team.
Okay. Yeah, and sometimes I could see where having an external person come in, can
Yeah.
be, even more unbiased and also just maybe see things that you're not seeing because you're there all the time. So yeah, that could help.
Sorry to inter
Yes.
sorry.
No, go ahead. No.
Internal audit is mostly, it's not the real kind of GFSI audit. So you have an opportunity to coach, to look into things and give the good recommendations. So having TAG doing the anything services along the lines of internal audit, it's a value add to the knowledge to the site, if we are doing that.
And also gives you a chance to make any corrections before you might have an audit from
Exactly.
whether it's, FDA or, GFSI or
GFSI.
UFSA, So, okay.
Right on. Yeah.
So, but despite all that, we are seeing that FDA is issuing quite a few warning letters for seafood HACCP non-compliance. So, such as not even having a plan or a lack of hazard analysis. How can keeping an eye on warning letters and looking at those now and again to see, what FDA is giving warning is about, how can that help a company?
I think staying abreast of the regulatory news changes, keeping an eye on warning letters, and again, even if it's not my facility's warning letter, it's somebody similar to me, so I should be keeping an eye on those, and that can keeping us to know what is FDA's focus on. Whereas, like again, FDA drives the food safety oversight when there is a consumer requirement, like the customers are asking, or there is a recall happening, some concerns were reported. So the trends they have seen that triggers their oversight. So we should be actually keeping an eye on what's going on in our similar industry, in the same country, seafood, or in the same region, or in the country of sale, which is US, how things are happening. And then we can do look into that, what is the order made? So let's say they have insufficient or inadequate hazard analysis. That is the key reason for the warning letter. That means they have a HACCP plan. It's written, it was presented, but it was not enough to satisfy FDA's requirements, or it did not address the projected risks of the product, which FDA was hoping to see. So in this case, there can be in the understanding of the requirements of the operator, it can lead into writing an insufficient hazard analysis program. So we should actually see what is the order shows and how we wanted to react on that, how we wanted to address the requirements. For example, if we say controlling biological hazards like pathogen, what it requires is the robust sanitation procedures detailing what to clean, when to clean, how to clean, and verifying the effectiveness check.
Okay.
However, with these steps in place, the facility can say we have a very robust program, but still the pathogen are found in some point, at some point in the product or in the facility. So that tells us that there is no set structure for how a sanitation procedure should be designed and implemented, but it should be. And there must be something missing which is leading to this situation. So the gaps in understanding the requirements and execution of hazard analysis and control measures, these are the main driving factors which are contributing to FDA import alerts and refusals. I have heard the frustration from the operators, like, we have everything in place. We think we are very good and mature with the food safety system. How come we were flagged? So there are several factors to be there. An untrained employee in the facility, and inconsistent use of sanitation supplies, how you actually monitor environmental monitoring program, how to check the effectiveness of sanitation and environmental monitoring program, all that leads into a success or failure of a food safety plan. And we wanted every program, whatever is designed to do an effective work, should be working, and it should show the results. Yeah, so I think main thing is staying abreast as well as knowing what is required and what are the gaps. Sooner we know the gaps, we can help, we can understand, we can navigate, and we can address those gaps and fix the problem.
Okay. So, yeah, and another area that you mentioned as well, and it's impacting nearly all FDA regulated facilities, is the FSMA traceability rule. And compliance for that is required in about a year and a half, January 2026. So, how does that rule impact seafood companies? What do they need to know, and what should they be doing now to make sure they're ready by then?
I think, yeah, they are. It's a very good question, very, very relevant, because our clients are asking for the support, and we are actually actively working with them right now on getting them ready for FDA traceability rule. This rule requires additional record keeping and traceability for seafood and other foods, and that rule applies to entire food supply chain, including the companies who manufacture, process, pack, and hold food. Requires specific information, as we all have heard in many, many forums, about the KDEs, key data elements, and for certain critical tracking events, CTEs, in the supply chain. This framework forms the foundation for effective and efficient tracing of food. Every facility may have a traceability, some kind of lot code tracking, some kind of timestamp for handling and moving the product. But giving those expectations of key data elements for certain critical tracking events in a certain format, it will help the industry to kind of, I use the word harmonize the approach towards traceability, as well as aligning with the language of FDA as expected in the traceability rule. So maintaining the key data elements at some and each such important critical tracking events is very essential, and it's a requirement for this rule. So those of our audience who are listening to this, knowing about something about traceability rule, this is a new in the industry expectation from FDA, and it has to be done in a certain format so FDA is able to quickly, efficiently trace and contaminated product through the supply chain if we have the similar approach used while making the food, in this case seafood. So FDA can provide critical information to the public in the event when something happens more quickly, and work with affected firms like the facilities to remove any contaminated products from the marketplace, which will avoid stop on the additional illnesses and other potential waste of other like illnesses or saving lives. So getting to know about the food traceability rule and doing the, I would use the updating your recall traceability system to align with FDA traceability rule is the need right now. And we can help. As a tag, we are actively working with seafood people, so we can help if you need.
Okay. So, kind of on another track, more than 60% of the seafood that's consumed in the US is imported from other countries, with Canada, Chile, and India being the top areas exporting to the US. So, how does the seafood HACCP rule impact foreign facilities? Are there any, import-export regulations which they also need to be particularly attuned?
Definitely there is a slightly additional rules. So under the seafood HACCP regulation, additional controls are required for imported fish and fishery products, and that will be not much on, like, domestic products are also under the similar rule. But then when soon we say foreign facility, the requirements and expectations a little bit goes higher. So definition of processor explicitly includes those who process seafood in foreign countries. And there is a section in the seafood HACCP where it shows the record keeping requirements of verification, which is very important for the processors. They should meet the requirements for seafood HACCP regulations. To do so, regulation requires importers take certain steps to verify that their foreign suppliers meet the requirements of regulations. So what happens here? There is a foreign manufacturing facility and there is an importers. So the importers has the responsibility to make sure their foreign suppliers are meeting the requirements and are well aware of the FDA requirements of foreign facilities. Additionally, that's where we can touch base on the foreign supplier verification program. Importers of seafood are also required to ensure that those importers who are bringing seafood from foreign suppliers, they comply with the HACCP rules. So FDA has integrated the seafood HACCP with the broader FSVP regulation under FSMA to enhance the safety of imported foods. Yes, the clients, our clients in overseas don't see really the FSVP activities because it only takes place in the US soil where importers are receiving the product. But it also, this is important for the foreign suppliers, the foreign supplier in different countries to know that your importers will be expecting to get complied based on information you will supply to them. So
Okay.
it's really important to connect all of those together.
Right. Okay. So we've discussed how TAG can assist with internal audits and with traceability and with some of these other things. Are there other particular areas of seafood HACCP that TAG can assist with?
TAG can assist with seafood HACCP training. Which is we are qualified trainers under the AFDO, where we can teach the regulation and sanitation programs under that. Also, in addition to directly seafood HACCP training, we can do other trainings like environmental monitoring training, on-site GMP trainings. We are very successful in going on the sites and doing the production staff training. The training is not a training room session setup. It's really on the production line, having personal hygiene enforcement, using the gloves in a proper way, proper hand washing, proper protective gears here, and like wearing, handling and disposal. So we are doing lots of training on site, which makes sense for general workers to understand what they need to do when they are handling the food in that regulated facility. That is a major need where we wanted to reach to the handlers who are the main contributors. Who could be contributing the risks to the food if they are not fully trained with some of the basic food safety trainings. Then the sanitation trainings, the use of proper equipment, use of proper like pre-wash soaking and handling of equipment and rinsing, even small steps of sanitation. We have a success in actually oversight on-site sanitation practices and correcting the practices. So operators do it right and make sure they cover all aspects of sanitation. Then effective root cause analysis training, sampling and testing training, food defense training, food fraud. We can also do mock regulatory bodies inspection. If there is a need for certain companies are expected to be inspected by a regulatory body, we can help on practicing that with them, how far they are in terms of meeting the requirement. If they are not, then how can they be ready for that? Validation studies we want to do about whether your cookers are cooking the seafood properly or is it missing something, your cold chain is maintained. Then the program reviews, like their facility designs, the extension of the facility, are you checking all the boxes? And also last one, but not least one, import alerts. If they
Right.
come into a situation where they have this FDA import alert notice received and they cannot produce anymore until they submit a proper corrective action with the preventive action, with the consecutive shipments, assurance with the good results, we can help for that. So we can do a lot of things basically,
Right,
and
right.
it has been a great experience to helping the foreign seafood processors in that area, their region, and having them successfully and enabling them to supply to US successfully over the years.
That's great. Thank you so much, Ranjit. You've provided a great deal of information on the seafood HACCP overall, what people should be doing and looking for and keeping an eye out on, and even where TAG can help. So that's really great. I want to thank you for sharing your expertise and the
Thank
great
you.
tips on help to ensure that that everyone's seafood HACCP is ready for an FDA visit. So if anyone listening did miss the episode called Seafood HACCP, the what, who, and why, click on it now below for more advice on the basics of seafood HACCP. And be sure you don't miss any episodes. Just like, follow, or subscribe to TAG Talks Food Safety on YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcast, or whatever your favorite podcast platform is. Thank you so much again.
Thank you all. Thank you, Lisa. Bye. Talk later.
Bye-bye.